the things that we thought about in running the race of faith together would be for as many of those who would want to as reading through the Bible together. And so if that's something you guys would be interested in and joining us with that, there's further information coming, some in the newsletter, but also you can look at the app for that. But anyway, it's just one simple way we can do that together. And so before we start, let me pray. Lord, just we praise you for the opportunity to study your word. We praise you for the opportunity of just having your spirit in us and, Lord, enjoying just who you are, Lord. I just pray that as we reflect on 2023, that we will be people who are grateful for your provision and your guidance and, Lord, your leading in our lives. And, Lord, as we look to 2024, that we can continue to trust you and look to you, and Lord, that we as individuals and as a church can run the race well, Lord, that you have laid out for us. And so as we look into your word, as we think through these things today, I just pray that you would help us to be encouraged in the things you have. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we think of running the race of faith in 2024, today we're primarily going to be in the passage of Hebrews chapter 12. And we know that this race is not a sprint. It's more of a marathon. It's more of a mud run. I don't know if there's any mud runners in here. It's more of a long distance race. One of my friends did a 50-mile race in Colorado. I don't think I'd ever want to do a 50-mile race, but we also know someone else who did a 100-mile race, which is crazy. But when we think of running the race of faith, we realize it is a long-distance race. It's a race throughout our lives, throughout time. It's an endeavor. It's something we need to endure in. And I got to thinking, I know there's a lot of mountain bikers in the church here, so if you would like to replace race with bike, you know, running with riding, that's appropriate. I think the author of Hebrews, if he would have had a mountain bike, he potentially would have changed it from run to ride. I don't know for sure, but possibly. And so if you guys want to do that, that's totally fine. And so for me personally, when I think of running the race of faith, I've been studying the life of Elijah the last couple of weeks, which has been encouraging. As I've thought about his life, and thought about the things that we deal with in our lives, I've kind of narrowed it down to three things in particular. And the first is the mountaintops of faith. The second is the plains of endurance. And the third is the valleys of doubt. And so when I think of running this race, these are the things that for me, and even in reading Elijah's life, that we have times in our lives where these mountaintops of faith, where these times in our lives where it's like God shows up, God reveals himself, his provision is clearly seen, and we feel, in a sense, his presence in our lives. We feel like he is directly leading us. And so for me personally, I got thinking about this for this last year, and you know, coming to this church and the things that God orchestrated on our behalf to be here, was a mountaintop experience in my life, where I saw on a website that the church was looking for a pastor. We were driving through here. We were actually on the way to my parents in Ontario, and I looked up the address of the church, and I thought, you know, let's just drive and look at the church. And for whatever reason, right there, I just felt like, man, this would be so cool to be a part of this church, for whatever reason. And that was before I had applied, before I had done anything. And then just realizing as I worked through the process, just seeing God provide and God lead and God be there. And then, as you guys all know, moving here and thinking about purchasing a home was another mountain that I thought, okay, Lord, how are you going to do this? How are you going to provide for us in this way? And ultimately, Carlin, my prayer was Ephesians 3:20, where it talks about the Lord abundantly, that we ask him that he abundantly provides beyond all that we ask or even think. And that was our prayer, is Lord, blow us away, amaze us by how you're going to provide for us. And the Lord did, and he continues to do that. And so in regards to this race that we're running, in regards to the race this year, clearly in my life personally, the process of coming to Grace Bible Church has been a mountaintop of faith in my life. It has convinced me that this is where the Lord has us, and I've seen him clearly and provide for us clearly in our lives. And so as we think about it, as we go through this race, as we talk today, things in your life, what are some things that are mountaintops of faith in your life that you've seen that you can look back on and always know, hey, that was God. God was at work in my life at that time. And we know for the nation of Israel that many times they would stop, right? And they would build, I believe it's called an Ebenezer, something that signifies the Lord at work. And it's something they could remember and point their kids back to. Remember the time that God did this. And so when I think of our lives and this year, coming up this year, there are going to be those things that we're going to see God so clearly. And usually a mountaintop of faith, two things stand out to me. Is one is God's provision is clear, crystal clear. And the other is we feel God's presence in our lives. And then also, the next thing that I have here, the plains of endurance, okay? Not the plains of Mordor. For some of you Lord of the Rings fans. But the plains of endurance, okay? And when I think of the plains of endurance here, times in our lives where we try to patiently endure, knowing God has a plan even though we cannot see it or may not feel like he is present. And I know for me this last year as well, I was definitely in the plains of endurance. With our ministry at Ethnos 360 at the Bible College there, feeling like the Lord was directing us somewhere else, and yet not really knowing and hearing, actually the last few years of my life, just really feeling like, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to go? What is it that you have for me in this race of faith that you would like for me to be a part of? And we all know that the reason why it says endure and thinking about a race is you do have to endure, don't you? There's difficult times, there's hard times when things aren't maybe clear and things are difficult. And so I remember, specifically, and maybe this is a mountaintop and plains of endurance at the same time. I remember specifically we were able to go to the beach in Florida, Carl and I, and take a little relaxed time last year. And I remember walking on the beach, and I had just visited with my brother, and my brother and sister-in-law were telling me all these amazing things that God was doing for him and how God was leading him here and God was doing this. And really in my heart, I felt like, Lord, you know, throw me a bone here. What's going on in my life? Like, I feel like there's no direction. There's no clarity. And just walking on the beach and praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, like, guide us, direct us in what you would have us do. Like, I know what I'm thinking I would like. And I had actually applied to be part of, I applied to be a pastor then. And, so that is that day, I went and took a nap, and when I woke up, Carla said, "Hey Ben, you should probably look at your phone. There's someone with the email of Freddy Spaghetti wrote me." So that's Fred back there, the elder. Now everyone knows your email address, Fred. Sorry. No. So, anyways, I just thought that was funny, but just a letter from the church saying, "Hey, you know, we'd like to talk with you more." And so again, all of a sudden in that time, like for a long time, like I said, for several years, I felt like the Lord was directing me somewhere. And I just didn't, Carl and I just didn't really have clarity on that. And so these times of endurance, these times where we don't, where God seems silent, maybe, where God, yeah, where God, we feel like, man, what is going on? What's he doing in my life? And we'll see here that the endurance times are times of growth in our lives. And then we have valleys of doubt. And these are one of these things I think that we would love to not admit to, that we struggle with doubt, right? But we do. And I think it's many times like the when Jesus was talking to the one guy that healed his son, I believe, I cast out demons, I think, he's like, Jesus says, "Do you believe?" And then he's like, "I believe, but help my unbelief." And I find myself there a lot of times in life, like, "Lord, I believe in you, I believe in what you're doing, but help my unbelief." And I think, as I talked about it a couple weeks ago, where when Peter talks to, when Jesus, the disciples were leaving, some of his disciples were leaving, not the 12, and Jesus says, "Are you guys going to leave too?" And Peter says, "Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so there's that confidence, so that even though I maybe don't know what's going on, even though I'm struggling with doubt, I know the one I need to look to. And so when I think of these valleys of doubt, times in my life where most of the time in a valley of doubt, there's some kind of fear. If I were to narrow it down, as there's some kind of fear, there's some kind of something that I don't have control of, I don't have control over. And often I know with us moving here, there was fear with finances. How are you going to provide, Lord? How are you going to do this? Because we're incapable of ourselves to be able to do what we need to do to be here. And then there's also fear of my own insecurities, fear of my own abilities. At least for me, is something that I dealt with this year. Is, Lord, am I going to be able to do the things that you have called me to do? And so as we think of those things, and we think of running the race well this year, how do we run this race of faith well in 2024? Knowing we are going to be running through the mountains of faith, the plains of endurance, and the valleys of doubt. How can we run well in this year of 2024? And so basically I have four ways that we're going to look at this morning, and they come out of Hebrews chapter 12. And so one of them is, the first is examples of others' faith. Examples of others' faith is how we can run well. And the second one is laying aside the things that weigh us down. The third is fixing our eyes on Jesus. And the fourth is considering Jesus and considering it all joy. So if you don't mind, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. And so as you guys probably know, the book of Hebrews, if we looked at the context of Hebrews, it was written to the Jews, Israelites there, as they were dealing with being persecuted. And they were being persecuted by their own people because they had come out of Judaism and were baptized and were Christians. They publicly showed that they were now Christians. And at the same time, they knew that, okay, so now they're ostracized by their own people because they're Christians, they're being ostracized, as well as a government. And so there was this pull, and this is one of the things that was going on in the book of Hebrews. There was this pull for them to revert back into Judaism, to go back into this, because at that time, Judaism was a religion that was okayed or seen as okayed by the government. And so the government would not be persecuting them anymore, as well as their own people wouldn't be persecuting them anymore. And so just to back up in regards to the context of Hebrews, it's significant that if they would have gone back to their old ways, they would have not dealt with the things that they were going to be dealing with. They knew that persecution was coming. And so it was one of these enticing things for them to go back to. And so just to set the stage a little bit, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, you have the author of Hebrews saying, "But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured great conflict of suffering." So after coming to know the Lord, after coming and understanding all that Christ was, who he was and what he did, what he had done, it says, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. So talking about them as a people, them as the Jews here, the Israelites here, that had come out of Judaism, became Christians, and the things that they had dealt with. And it says in verse 35, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." And so as we look at this, as we look at the things they were dealing with, as we look at the things they were being persecuted by, the author goes, and what he's trying to do in the book of Hebrews is explain how Christ is worth hanging on to, how Christ is worth the one to focus on, because Christ is better than all these other things. Christ is better than the angels. Christ is better than Moses. Christ has fulfilled the law. That's so when you look at the book of Hebrews, it explains how Christ is better and why we should hold on to Christ and not go back into our former ways in a sense. And so here you have the Hebrews, you have the Jews here. They were in the plains of endurance, enduring these difficulties, enduring these hardships. And then if we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us." And like I said, the first way that we can run the race of faith well in 2024 is look at others' examples. And so we have here the cloud of witnesses, and we know that chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews is called the Hall of Faith, right? It's all men and women of faith who believed God, obeyed God, trusted God, and ran well. Those who took God at his word and acted on what he had said, even though they maybe didn't see and they maybe weren't able to experience the promise, they continued to trust God during that time. And so the way we can run the race well, the first is examples of others' faith. And so let's read Hebrews 11, 32 through 37. It says, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection." And so I'm taking a little bit out of this chapter. And here you see God showing up in big ways. Here you see God doing amazing things on behalf of these men and women that were trusting God by faith. And I think it's good for us to realize that at this time, for many of these guys, they were mountaintops of faith experience. They were experiencing God in incredible ways. And you know, it's really cool for us to be able to look at people in our lives. And even like I just shared, how God showed up, how God was present, how God provided. But you know what? The reality is, too, We know men and women of faith that God maybe didn't show up the way that we thought, that God maybe didn't provide the way that they hoped he'd provide, and yet they were still men and women of faith. And so when it comes to running this race, is how can we stay focused and look at others as examples of how God did amazing things and maintain their faith, and how other things happen as well. Let's go on to read the rest of verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so they may obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. And so I think it's important for us to remember, as we're looking at examples of faith, it's amazing to look at examples of how God provided, and it's also amazing to look at examples of men and women of faith. Despite the circumstances, despite what was going on, they continued to look to the Lord. All right, and so the next one we want to look at is, in again, going on. So when it comes to the cloud of witnesses, those are some of the stories, and if you go back and read chapter 11, you can read more in there as well. And then it says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so when we have this thing of laying aside, this idea of laying aside the encumbrance, when we think about that, an encumbrance, how can you run well if you're encumbered by something? How can you run well if something is dragging you down? And so it's interesting, he talks about, the author says, there's two things. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin. Okay, encumbrance and sin, it's talking about two different things. Things that just weigh us down. So when we look at 2024, I need to look at my life. Lord, what things are weighing me down? What things are slowing me down? Maybe they're not sin, but what things are slowing me down? And just ask the Lord to reveal those things in my life. Things that are just slowing me down. They're taking my time. They're making me not run well. And then it says, in the sin which so easily entangles. And that word entangled there is the word ensnares. It's like sin, the things that ensnare us, things that trap us or captivate us. And so guys, these things that ensnare us, the sins that ensnare us, they slow us down, don't they? Because all of a sudden we're captivated by something and we're controlled by something and we're not able to run well. And we know in this world there's much out there that's trying to captivate us. There's much out there that's trying to distract us and weigh us down from being able to run well. And the other thing I'd like to point out here where it says run with endurance. Again, we can't run with endurance if we're weighted down. And the other idea too is in 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? And he says this, run in such a way that you may win. And when we think of the race of 2024, are we running? Is our mindset, are we running in such a way that we are going to win the race? Because I'm telling you, if you're racing your mountain bike race and you're just racing to enjoy the ride and enjoy the beauty of mountain biking, guess what? You're probably not going to win, okay? There's some determination, there's some intentionality. If we're running a race and we know it's a long race and we know it's an endurance race and we're running to win, there's intentionality, there's thought like, Lord, what is it that you have? What is it that I need to think to where I'm actually running to win? Where I'm not just running to enjoy the beauty of creation. I'm not just running to enjoy life. I'm running for a goal. I'm running specifically to win. And when I think about this, where it says the race that is set before us, There's a race that is set before us as a church, which I believe is in our purpose of the church, which is to love the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, and the Great Commission. I'll be talking about this in a couple weeks. We're talking about going to all the world and to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, reaching those for Christ. So when we think of our goal as a church, those specific things, but when we think of our goal as individuals, where it says the race that is set before us, I can't help but to think of Ephesians chapter 2:10. Because in Ephesians 2:10, specifically it says, you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to just enjoy life. No, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, right? To do something specifically, and it says, which God had before ordained that you walk in them. So when it says here, the race that is set before us, the race that is set before us is those works, those good works that God has before ordained that you walk in them. So when we realize, am I running to win the race that God specifically has put in my life, things for me to live out, things for me to do, things for me to be a part of, individually as an individual. And so far, if we're going to run the race well, we need to look at others' examples. We need to lay aside these things that drag us down. And then we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, where it says, again, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And when we think of this concept of fixing our eyes on Jesus, I know when I first was thinking about it, it's pretty simplistic, isn't it? If I'm going to run well, if I'm going to run this race well, I need to fix my eyes on Jesus. And the word fix is a little different than just looking, isn't it? When I talked about that intentionality, that mindset, fixing our eyes on Jesus, focusing on Jesus, keeping Him forefront in our lives, keeping Him focused in our lives, because He's not only the author of our faith, it's all because of Him to begin with, right? It's all because of Him to begin with. He's not only the author of our faith, He's the one that perfects us. He's the one that is maturing us and growing us and helping us develop into the person He wants us to be. And so it's so encouraging. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, we know, hey, Lord, You're the one that gave me this great salvation, and You're the one that's going to perfect me. You're the one that's going to grow me and mature me. And it's just amazing to think about that. And you know what the adverse effect of not fixing my eyes on Jesus is? It's going to be fear. It's going to be fear, isn't it? If I'm not fixing my eyes on Jesus, this world, guys, is a very fearful place. If we look at the passage where Peter's walking on the water, Matthew 14, 30 and 31, it says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out His hand, caught him, and He says, you of little faith, why do you doubt? And so it's interesting, as we're talking about this race of faith here, this perfect example of Peter comes to mind. It took amazing faith for Peter to get out of the boat and walk in the water, right? That took amazing faith, that leap of faith out there to do that. And yet he gets out there a little bit, and what happens? He starts looking around, and he becomes afraid. He loses focus. He wasn't fixated on Christ, knowing that Christ was the author. Jesus was the one giving Peter the ability to walk on the water, right? He's the author. He's the one that gives us the ability. And you know what? For me, when I came here, as I was saying, when it comes to the valley of doubt, fear is a big thing. It makes me like, Lord, how can I do what You have set out for me to do? And you know, I would say that's probably true in your lives as well. Fear is going to get in there, and the Lord wants us to turn back to Him. But you know what the devil wants? He wants to continue to throw doubt. He wants to continue to throw doubt at you and make you think you can't do this. You can't do the things. You can't run this race well. And he's going to try to distract us away from what God has for us. And so again, fixing our eyes on Jesus is simplistic, but we know because he's the author and perfecter, our only hope to run this race of faith is keeping him focused, keeping him in our focus, right? And just like Peter, like I said, this world's a scary place. And the thing that's going to oftentimes bring you to doubt the most, doubt God the most, is fear. And I love this part. Immediately, it says immediately Jesus reached out his hand and got him. And you know what? When it comes to our lives, many times Jesus is reaching out his hand and catching us, isn't he? And that's a promise we have. And yet, you know, he does tell Peter, oh, you have little faith, but you know what? I'm right here. I'm right here to help you. I'm right here. And that's why we got to keep our eyes on Jesus, because he's right there always. And his hand is always outstretched to us when we need him. And then lastly, considering where it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then it goes on here before we get to the next point, who for the joy set before him. And we know, guys, the joy set before him was us. That's why he endured the cross. And I know me and I know my flesh. And it amazes me that Christ died for me, right? Who for the joy set before him that he can bring us into his family. The joy set before him that we can be children of God now because of what Christ has done. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The fact that he's seated at God's right hand means it's a finished work. It's done. It's complete. God is satisfied with what Christ has done. In the next verse here, it says, for consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Jesus. Consider what he did. Consider the joy set before him. Consider the shame that he despised, right? Consider the things that he endured on your behalf, is what it's saying. The things he endured on your behalf, that he endured hostility towards sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As we look to Christ, as we're fixated on Christ, as we see what he has done, as we consider him, that is going to give us endurance as we're dealing with the planes of endurance in our lives, is to consider him. And then lastly, in considering here, let's turn to James just a few pages over. James chapter 1, it's another word, consider. It's a different kind of consider. But in verse 1, it says, James, a bondservant of God, James 1:1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. And the word dispersed abroad, or the dispersion of the tribes, it's talking about here, it's because of persecution. The reason why they're dispersed is they're being persecuted. And it says, who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy. So not, again, a word consider. So our last point is considering Jesus and considering it all joy. Where it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And so to run well, to run this race well, I need to consider the trials that I'm facing with joy. I need to consider it all joy. And it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And you know what? When we are in the valley, or not the valley, when we're in the plains of endurance, the Lord is teaching us, isn't he? The last 3 years of my life, I'm so grateful that the Lord taught me, because the things that I've learned, I know I can use today. The things that He's taught me, I know I can apply to my life, to being here, to my ministry, to the people I'm around today, right? And it says, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. When it talks about here being perfect and complete, lacking nothing, it's talking about maturity. Let endurance have its result so that I can mature. I can grow in my relationship with Christ. I can grow in my ability to impact lives, right? The maturity here it's talking about. And that I lack nothing. And then I love this because you know what? We're all going to be lacking all the time as long as we're here on this earth. Because he says next, but if any of you lacks wisdom, which we all lack, right? Let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And so it's interesting here that maturity, growth, as I look to Christ, as I look to the joy, okay, Lord, I'm going through this time, I'm enduring this time, because I know you're growing me. But you know what? Ask God for wisdom in it. Trust him that he's going to guide you in it. But believe by faith as you ask him that he can do it. He can accomplish it. And so if you go back to Hebrews, that's ultimately the author was saying, continue to trust God in that. Continue to believe God because he can accomplish, he will accomplish. Look back at all these men and women who they trusted God and God did incredible things, even though they may not have experienced the thing that they were looking for. But God still was at work in their lives. And so guys, in conclusion, the worship team can come up now. In conclusion, I was just thinking about this. There's an old African proverb. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. Right? If you want to go far, go together. And when it comes to this race of faith, when it comes to this walk of faith in our lives, we need each other, don't we? If we want to go far, and we do want to go far, right? As Grace Bible Church, we want to go far. As a church and as individuals, right? If we want to go far, we go together. And we look to God, we trust God together. We trust that we need each other. We need to be able to look at and understand and look at the examples of faith right here in our church, because there are those who have lived a life of faith. They trust God and are examples of that faith. We need to lay aside the things that slow us down. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, and we need to consider Jesus and consider it all joy. As we run, we will have mountaintops of faith. We will need to pray for each other, or we will need to pray for each other as we go through the plains of endurance, and we need to be there for each other in the valleys of doubt as we deal with fear and uncertainty in our lives. But let's run together, and let's run to win. All right, let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for you. We're grateful for your word and just the encouragement we can find from it. Lord, we think of this year, 2024, coming up, and we're just trusting that you're going to give us just an amazing time that we can look to you and trust you and allow you to guide us and mature us and lead us, Lord. And as a church, we're anticipating that too, Lord. We're excited about the things you have for us, and we just pray that you continue to help us keep our minds on you and our focus of fixation, Lord, on you and on Christ. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the confidence we can have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.